Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, broadcasting live, of course, on GFQNetwork.com and, of course, an F4W Online Wrestling Observer website. Of course, with me, as always, the one, the only, the maestro, Rich Stambolian.
Oh, what's going on, man? I thought you were going to do the thing you texted me before, but that's okay.
Not yet. You know what? I'm going to save that one because I want to do like a big production with that intro.
Oh, really? Okay. Cool. With the music, if we can get the rights to that song, that'd be amazing.
That's what we need. Guys, this show is all about professional wrestling. We talk about the good and the bad. We try to have fun with the show. A lot of stuff going on, man. Last week was our first show that went up on F4W online, and the amount of feedback, unbelievable, guys. Very much appreciate all the feedback that we got. A lot of new viewers, a lot of previous viewers that, you know, over the years, it happens. You kind of forget about a show, and then they've come back. So this has been awesome, and you know, we're getting into WrestleMania season. So what better way to highlight how great wrestling is with one of the hottest times of the year? So, I got a bunch of stuff. I got a recap first.
Sure.
First of all, big shout out to Jonathan with these intros, with the video and the audio stuff he's been working on. He's been doing a great job. Of course, MG Geek, Suncast, we got this awesome crew. Starting next week, we're going to start a new thing where we're going to have Matt Men clips. So two or three of the best segments from the show are going to go up on YouTube. We're probably going to continue doing this for the foreseeable future. Just adding more of these clips so people discover the product and everything. So I haven't decided if we're going to do a Matt Men clip page or we're going to do it on the main page. I got to figure out what we should do. I'm going to leave that up to the audience and what they suggest and what's easier for them. So if we do a clip page, listen, maybe we'll have four clips to show up on there instead of two or three. You know, we're just working on different things here. But, dude, a lot of decent stuff. Raw, I watched the entirety of Raw.
You know why you watched all of Raw.
Well, you know what? I was going to watch it anyway because it was just on, right? And then when I saw Hunter was going to be on, for, you know, and then they figured out this main event thing, I was like, you know what? I'm pretty intrigued by this.
Going to stay up, going to watch. I did the same thing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch all of Raw. My wife was shocked by that, by the way. She was like, why? I was like, Triple H is kind of, I think he's going to wrestle at the end. And you know what? I found it very enjoyable.
So he did 3 minutes. I'm not going to recap all of Raw, but the news came out on Monday that Drew McIntyre tested positive for COVID. So he's out for the next 10 to 14 days. I think he's going to miss the go-home show for Rumble.
Ooh, really?
Dude, you know what's really weird? Didn't they do a whole build for Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg without Roman Reigns?
They did. Well, they did. I think it was Goldberg in like a couple of interviews saying that Roman's next, I got shifted. So you know, like, does the Goldberg thing, I know we touched on it last week, but I feel like that can shift at any given time and you can have like Goldberg Roman at Mania.
No. Right? I don't want to see it, man. You know, and I'm not, and again, I'm not hating on Bill Goldberg, right? Like I have a very different outlook on this. When he's on TV, I understand what they're trying to do. Do I care for it? No. Like, if I never see another Goldberg match, it doesn't matter to me. So I get it. I get why people are annoyed. But now you're going to have to do this build without Drew being there.
Right.
So I don't know how much people are going to care about it. You know, like, I don't know if anybody really cares for this to be a big time main event match at Royal Rumble. And there is that little fear, right? And I think this is the positive here when it comes to pro wrestling. People fear that he's going to be Drew.
Right.
And like, somebody said this to me and I was like, no way. I'm like, I don't think so. I think they know better. I'm like, no, they don't know better.
Right. Right. I think the interesting thing about wrestling and wrestling fans in general also is like, we hope and pray that WWE knows better as far as like what the fans want to see, but they don't, you know, especially now with no crowds, they can do whatever they want and pipe in whatever noises they want. And we're going to have to sit there and take it. And that's it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, they're going to pipe in all the noises. Goldberg's going to get such a great reaction. They're going to be able to kind of make this into what they want it to be instead of having it in front of a live audience where they would probably boo this, especially at a Royal Rumble. A lot of people would not be happy with Drew potentially losing to Bill Goldberg. Right. But, you know, I mean, if it's WWE and you're looking for a reason to pull the title off of Drew, they could turn this into an angle. Drew has not been in a wrestling ring in 15, 16 days. He hasn't been able to train as well. Mm-hmm. And there you go. Goldberg beats him really quickly because he just couldn't train because he was sick.
And Goldberg's a machine.
Oh, man. You know what, dude? I just called the finish of that match.
There you go.
That's the whole story. Calling it right now.
Three spears.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to, I honestly don't think they're going to drop that title to Goldberg, man. Come on. Like it's been done so many times at this point where it's almost bizarre where, you know, when Goldberg shows up, he gets a belt. I don't think he should. I think he should put over Drew.
How many times did he have the WCW title?
Three.
Was it three?
Three, maybe six. I don't know.
I mean, have we hit the point that Goldberg has held the title as many times in WWE than he has in WCW? I can't remember.
Think so.
Dude, you know what's so funny? Like a lot of that WCW, like 90, once he held a title.
Oh, wow.
Maybe he was once. He's a more decorated champion in the WWE lineage history than he was in WCW. That doesn't make sense. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. Huh. You know what I mean?
It does. Again, like, all right. So I mentioned this the other night on Twitter on Monday, where wrestling is kind of one of the only things that really heavily pushes nostalgia in terms of also pushing a current thing. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes. So, like, I saw that tweet and I wanted to say, I totally agree with you. I can't think of any other franchise or product that does that, right?
Somebody responded with Star Wars, which is correct because they use canonical history with everything that they do, right? But I feel like that's just its own little bubble. As far as wrestling goes, what did they do on Monday? They gave us a 5-minute clip package of Goldberg from like 20 years ago, right? And I think what that does, it does this interesting thing where like new fans will look at that and say, hey, I'm going to sign up to the network and check out what this guy has done. And the older fans are like, oh man, look at Goldberg. Wasn't he the best? Like one of our friends, Derek, texted me on Monday saying like, yo, Goldberg, it was my guy when I was younger, like in high school, Goldberg was the guy. And it's kind of interesting how those guys come back and watch TV now, but it's a far cry from the height of what Bill Goldberg was in WCW, right? Like you remember watching that run. That run was ridiculous. It was 20 years ago.
You know what's funny? I remember. So at that point, I was really into WWE's product, right? I wasn't, like, probably 96, I started doing, like, the channel back and forth. Mm-hmm. 97, I was way more in the WCW side until midway through. Okay. And then, like, midway through 97, like, with the whole DX stuff and Bret Hart, I got really into. So, like, I was still doing the back and forth. But by the point that the Goldberg run, like, got really hot, I was way more on the WWE side of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've ended up going back and rewatching it, and it kind of rehashes some of my memories. And one of the memories that I have is that, you know, Goldberg had the streak going, right? Because that's what really was, and it was legitimate. They weren't working it. It was legitimate numbers. He was, you know, 72-0 or 73-0, whatever it was. And I didn't watch for like 2-3 weeks, right? I didn't watch WCW, and I turned it on, and this guy was at like 800-0.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, 9,000 person.
And I remember sitting there, and Tony Schiavone, and they were doing this. I can picture it. They were doing this like pan of the crowd, and Tony Schiavone says like, "Look at Bill Goldberg with his 198 win streak, at whatever the number was." And I'm thinking, how is that possible? What happened? How many freaking house show matches did this guy work? But it was an impressive run, and I think a lot of it, and listen, we're going to get to the current stuff too, right? But I think this is interesting, and I think a lot of Bill Goldberg's success, maybe an unpopular opinion, but he was another bald white dude in black trunks that was very aggressive, you know, very different character, but there was immediately when you saw Bill Goldberg, you're like, oh man, I want to see him in Austin, right? But why?
Yeah.
Other than the fact that they're two bald guys in black trunks.
I think the thing with Goldberg, which I'm almost 100% positive that you will agree with me on, is that when you watch Goldberg, it was like watching a train wreck in that he really looked like he was kicking those dudes' asses.
Dude, you know what, though? We can make fun of it all we want, but that crowd, watch some of those, you know, Pete Goldberg Nitros.
Yeah.
He holds whoever it is up for the jackhammer, and that crowd goes nuts. Him and a great example, him and Raven.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That crowd was losing their freaking minds for Goldberg to win the U.S. title.
Yeah, dude. He had like some weird magic where like he just walked in and beat the shit out of people and left, you know, whereas like, you know, you turn the channel and you have Austin who was doing the same thing, except it was a more, it seemed the Austin stuff was always a more organized story, you know, and yeah. Case in point, like when they finally beat the streak and he got tased by
Cattle
Scott Prom. Hall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It fell apart completely, right? Dude,
do you remember watching that? Do you remember watching it? Yeah. How did you feel?
I was just like, what the F is happening right now? I was like, that's it. And then the next week I was like, oh, I guess that's it. I guess that's it for Bill Goldberg.
I guess that's it. He got tased by Scott Hall.
Yeah, that's it.
I believe in that tasing, and we got to the current stuff. So when he tases him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Scott Hall also jolts a little while he's doing it.
He's selling the tase.
He's selling the tase himself, like almost like telling Goldberg, like, okay, man, work it like me, you know? hysterical. Monday Night Raw, Drew announced that he had COVID. Ratings were interesting. 1.8 million views for this. They were going up against... I believe if they did not have Triple H on this card, it would have been a much lower rating. 100%. I think Dave and Brian were talking about it earlier this morning on Wrestling Observer Radio and how virtually women left in droves after the first hour. I guess they don't like Triple H. They like sexy Drew with his hair. They don't care for Triple H. But it is interesting how I got into this, right? And listen, 3 minutes. It was like maybe less than 3 minutes. Hunter was wearing a shirt because obviously he's not in ring shape. This guy also hasn't had a match in over a year. He didn't wrestle at all in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
There was no matches in 2020 for him. So obviously now he's back. He had a match. Do they do this again?
Oh, yeah. His last match, I believe, was in Japan against Bobby Roode and somebody else. I think he was 2019. I think April 2019 was his last official match when they did like a tour of Japan. And it was a tag match.
Really? That was his last match?
Yeah. And I think you're going to get one or two more Triple H's. I really liked black Motorhead t-shirt and jeans Triple H because that's usually how I dress.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is great.
By the way, I ordered that Jericho shirt. When we get to Dynamite, we'll talk about it. I ordered it.
I ordered it too, and then I immediately canceled it because I saw how much you paid.
$43
for it. Right. But they charged me more.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Did they?
Yeah, dude. Like I saw like the text you sent, and I was like, SOBs.
"Oh, I know why."
Like,
what size did
I got
you buy?
2X.
Maybe that's why.
I don't think so. It didn't say that, but I got charged like $3 more, and I was just like, "F it," and I did the refund like immediately.
Yeah. So they went up against. So Raw was going up against a national title game. Listen, whatever. It is what it is. Ric Flair in this sugar daddy to Lacey angle.
Love it.
You love it? It bothered me. I don't want to see. Why? I don't want to see him on TV. I don't know. It just bothered me. I don't want. You know what? I don't want to see Flair as a creep anymore.
You don't want Flair to have a sexual identity anymore.
No, I don't want to see. I want no sexual identity for Ric Flair on TV. I want zero of that.
But I think the cringe that fans experience after that is definite. Obviously, that's the point, right?
The point is
to have to be grossed out by the relationship of 71-year-old Ric Flair, 1,000-year-old Ric Flair, and 30-year-old Lacey Evans. I think it was great. She's perfect in that part. You know, like the sugar daddy thing is hysterical, and turning on Charlotte I think is great too. I'm all about it. I'm with it.
All right, at least you're enjoying
it. I'm super enjoying it.
Couple other things here. Here's a question for everybody. Is Triple H in the void with John Cena?
Ooh.
Because he disappeared, right? His sledgehammer caught on fire, and he went poof. Uh-huh. So maybe he's where Cena is.
Wouldn't that be cool if they did like a cinematic void bit where Triple H is just walking around in complete darkness and he meets John Cena in the NWO hat.
Oh man. And they're just sitting there trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a whole series, man. You know what? I would, if WWE had like a 20 something minute quick sitcom based series where it's Hunter and it's Cena sitting in this void.
Mm.
And they're trying to figure out how the hell to get out. And every now and then, like, food appears and they got to figure out where the hell the food's coming from.
They just get
gift baskets. Yeah, yeah. And then they, you know, and eventually they break out and it's Vince's house or something. Let's talk about last night. Good wrestling, good TV on both products. We'll start off with AEW. Man, that Pac match with Eddie Kingston.
Great, great stuff.
Pac's man, he looks great.
Yeah, they both do. Listen, like, my wife took a look. She did not know who Eddie Kingston was. She took one look at him and go, what's this guy from Yonkers? And I went, he is. It's like, he is exactly. From Yonkers. How did you know? Pac looked awesome. Eddie's such a great addition to that roster. He sells so convincingly.
Imagine this guy was never on. He's been around forever. If you're in the Northeast, you know, like, you go to independent shows. You've seen an Eddie Kingston match. You've had to have seen. This guy's been around forever. And now, at this point in his career, he's able to shine like this. The dude cuts a very unique style promo. His cadence is unique. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you're not getting what you expect from a wrestling promo from him. And I think that's why it works. And his style is great. You know, it's a very unorthodox, different style you're seeing. Pac is phenomenal. We know what he's capable of. I thought these two had a great match, and Pac's looking better and better every week.
Oh yeah, big dude. He's getting huge.
He's his body looks unbelievable. But here's a question, right? We're talking about the AEW title picture, and we know it's, you know, where it's headed. Eventually, it's going to be headed to Hangman. But in the meantime, does Eddie Kingston get a title run at some point? Does Pac get a title run at some point? You know, like. Who are the next group that you're thinking, okay, this guy could be a champion, this guy could be a champion, this guy could be a champion in AEW?
Well, you're building the brand, right? So I think for sure the guys who are checkmarked to be champ, at some point Eddie Kingston, at some point MJF, at some point Pac, right? At some point, for sure, Rey Fenix. And
you think they'll put the title on Fenix?
100%. I think it's, but it's 3 years from now, you're going to see Rey Fenix. You know what I mean? Like the now, until this ship really, really takes off as far as like popularity and viewers and all that stuff goes, you have a good group of guys to shift that belt between. Kenny, yeah. Moxley, Jericho, Hangman, etc. Right? Cody, throw Cody in there. But 2-3 years from now, that's when you're going to get Phoenix, MJF, a lot of the guys that we really enjoy watching who, I don't know, maybe need a live crowd, maybe need to get over a little more with a live crowd, right?
You know, I think Eddie Kingston is one of those guys. Yeah, Eddie Kingston is one of those guys that it's crazy that we never saw Brody in front of a live crowd in AEW, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's shame on so many levels, right? His whole story. But Eddie Kingston's another guy. We've never seen him in front of a live AEW crowd,
right?
And they would just eat this guy's, you know, promos up, his style up. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Pac's another one, man. You know, we didn't really see much at all in 2020 from him because of the pandemic. But now it's his time. He's here, and I think we're gonna get some cool stuff. And also Lance Archer, he did a run in at the end of that match. You know, him and Pac had words because he came for the save.
I like that. I like how they're using Lance Archer now. I think with a lot of stuff in AEW, it's for sure a slow burn, which I really appreciate, you know, and it's a lot of teases and a lot of like future stuff. So at some point we know they're going to get that extra show, right? Or we know they're going to get that extra 2 hour show. They have Dark.
I don't want to see it, man. I'm less is more. I'm a big fan of that. And I think they need to reevaluate the WWE's decisions here. With adding a second show and a third show and a fourth show, and then having all their stuff online, something AEW doesn't really do is oversaturate their presence online, and that's something WWE does. You go to WWE's channel, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're uploading like 6, 7, 8, 9 videos a day because it's a business for them to upload to YouTube, and they have such a huge catalog of content that they could continue uploading, years and years of content that you haven't seen or new ways to see it. AEW doesn't have that, but I, you know, do they need another show? Do they need a third show that's an hour or 2 hours?
I wouldn't mind another show on TNT. Dark is what it is. Dark is great. You know, like, I feel like Dark is for, like, the diehards at this point, you know, like the diehard wrestling fans. I'm trying to summarize what you're telling me, and what I think you're trying to say is you're worried that if AEW gets another show on TNT, it's going to be overexposure for them.
Yes. Yes, I believe that that'll... So here's a great example. So I'm looking at, let me see, post-Dark show. Let me see what Dark did this week. So Dark last week did... Okay, Dark did 261,000 views. It's one day old. The week prior to that, it did a half a million views. So a half a million people are watching Dark weekly or so.
Dark's fun. Dark's a fun show.
That's fun. That's fine. Yeah. But do you need to add a third two-hour show? Listen, this show is 2 hours, AEW Dark. It's an hour and a half. I'm sorry, hour 30.
Yeah.
You know, do you need it? Does it hurt your product? Does it help your product? I don't. I would say they don't need it, but I understand for TV rights and things like that, it comes into play. So,
okay.
I don't know. I don't really watch Dark to be like, I'll watch clips of it if I hear there's a good match or something, but I just don't have it in my time frame to watch it.
Would you be more interested in a second network AEW show formatted more like a combination of BTE and Lucha Underground?
I don't know. I you know, BTE is another thing that they have. That's another property of theirs, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is. I don't. We'll see what happens. But do you need an? Listen, maybe I'm just being selfish. I can't use another night of wrestling. I can't.
I hear you. No, I understand. You know? I hear you. Like, we have to cover it. I think I got into a conversation the other night on Twitter where folks who were on our feed were saying, is Raw watchable? You know?
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting conversation.
And I'm kind of like, well, I have to watch it. So I'm kind of removing myself from this equation, you know? But
because you watch it differently.
I watch it differently. I got to do the show. I got to talk to you every week. I got to talk to our amazing fans every week. So I feel like I have to watch wrestling. Do I want to watch wrestling sometimes? No, definitely not. On Monday, usually like at about 9 o'clock, I just want to shut my brain off.
Yeah, but you know why, though? I'm going to tell you. I think if Raw, again, this whole 2 hour thing, right? And I don't think they're going to be able to go 2 hours, but a two-hour show is so much easier to watch because the pacing is different.
Yes.
You know, 3 hours is a lot to consume. It's a lot of filler, and it's a lot of information that I need to now take in. I find it difficult for sure because it's a three-hour show, and it's not a very quick 3 hours. There's a lot of low points in that show. So I don't know. I don't think it's an easy... They don't make it easy. Let me just say that.
I'll agree with
you.
They
don't make it easy.
They definitely don't. Monday nights are hard. Sometimes I do personally find NXT a little hard to get through, but you have two shows that look super easy. AEW is always a quick watch, and so is SmackDown. SmackDown has been very tight lately. And
I watch SmackDown every week easily without having to, you know, watch after the fact and fast forward or any. It's a much easier show to consume.
Same here. I think it's very well timed. The promos are great. The wrestling is great. Last Friday SmackDown was fantastic, and you know it's its own little show in a bubble. The issue, I think, again, I'm kind of gonna piggyback on your point about AEW and having another show, is that look at the results of what happened yesterday. They crammed so much stuff into 2 hours that I think a secondary show might be able to let that initial 2 hour show breathe a little bit. If you understand what I'm saying, you know, cause like, if you look at our notes, right, immediately I'm going to go through it real quick. You had the Pac Kingston match. You had Adam Page, teasing joining the Dark Order, Miro squashing Chuck T. You had the swerve between the Good Brothers and, the Bucks, right?
Oh yeah. Which we'll talk about that.
Bunch of Moxley stuff. You had an amazing women's title match. You had the new Britt Baker segment with Cody Rhodes. Jade Cargill shows up. Thunder Rosa calls people out, you know, like calls Britt Baker out. And then you had Brian Cage and Darby Allin. Sting shows up. That's a lot of stuff.
That is a lot of stuff.
In 2 hours. You know, it's a whole lot of stuff. And it's great. You know, like I enjoyed it. But I think a secondary show will let all this stuff breathe a little bit more, you know?
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know what the answer here is. So we got, and I'm not going to run down this whole show, but it was a decent show. We got a interesting moment with the Bucks and the Good Brothers. So essentially, yes. There was a swerve where it was supposed to be the elite teaming up together, and I guess Callis came out, cut a promo introducing the tag team champions of the world, and it wasn't the Bucks, it was the Good Brothers, and we had their AEW debut match.
Fantastic.
You know what? It's amazing how this played out, right?
Yes.
I mean, from the time that these guys left, so many people were so disappointed that they re-signed with WWE. They thought, you know, these guys leaving, going to Japan, and AEW would be the answer here. And they ended up not doing either one. Obviously, it's a pandemic. They can't go to Japan, but they didn't go to Japan immediately. They didn't go to AEW. They went to Impact Wrestling, and people were like, why the hell would they do this? Well, I guess now we know.
Yeah, very cool. As a fan, I totally mark out moments just because of, like, you know, this is the type of stuff where, like, I'll watch it, enjoy it, and look forward to covering it on our podcast. Just because of, like, the history between all these guys and how it's playing out on TV. This is akin to that late 90s male soap opera kind of thing that people put on pro wrestling.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Right? Like, you're like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, these guys are here. Who's going to backstab who? Who's going to backstab who? You know?
Yeah. It's exactly that. This was exactly what you said. It was very pro wrestling. It was a swerve coming, you know, you kind of saw it. You don't know where people are going to fall. You don't, but now think of the matches that we have.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we could have a title for title match, which I think we will see. Impact Champions versus AEW Champions.
I think that's coming. And we have Hard to Kill coming this Saturday.
This Saturday, Hard to Kill. This will probably be one of the most ordered Impact pay-per-views.
Of all time.
In a long time. They did actually great with that show a couple... When was that really good Impact show that they did?
3 weeks ago.
No. It was a pay-per-view. Was it Slammiversary? Oh. I think it was Slammiversary. It was one of the most ordered shows in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was. So here's a Hard to Kill preview, which I'm going to be ordering. I'm going to be watching. You're getting a new announced team of Matt Stryker, Bayside Queens' own Matt Stryker, and D'Lo Brown. I'm curious to see how this team does. So you got Stryker and D'Lo. You got Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, and Cousin Jake versus Eric Young. Joe Doring. Is it Joe Doring? I can't zoom in on this. Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote this Diener. Extra small.
He did. What the hell? He literally copied and pasted. I'm looking at the show notes. Just copied and pasted an image.
Super old extra
school,
small.
It's an old school rules match. You got Ethan Page versus Karate Man. Sami Callihan versus Eddie Edwards in a barbed wire massacre match. Now it's way bigger. Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie for the Knockout Championship. Tasha Steele, Kira Hogan. I wonder if she's going to change her name when she goes somewhere else.
You think so?
I don't know. Who else is in this? It's all white now. Can you see this?
Manic versus Chris Bay versus Rohit Raju for the X Division. I could barely read this. For the X Division.
Thank you so much, MGK.
Is this the monkey wrench that Mr. Gonzo is trying to throw into the show?
Just I think so.
Small text.
Small text everywhere. And then obviously we're getting
no more small text.
No more small text, guys. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. It's so small, dude. I just want to tell you, I know it's Rich Swann, but my mind went to Ron Swanson.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So I was about to say it's Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Ron Swanson and the Motor City Machine Guns, which I would pay money to see that match. And I think we're going to get some AEW appearances here.
I think so. You think the Bucks are going to show up and kind of just to quote unquote cheer them on and then end up super kicking everybody?
They have to do it. Yeah. They have to do it. So listen, man, awesome. I mean, that's going to be pretty cool. So to kind of go back to WWE, there's a little bit of news here, and I want to get your opinion on this. So obviously there's a little bit of a COVID situation happening there. There's stories that it's more than just Drew that have it. So you could kind of fill in the blanks by who hasn't been on TV and who has been on TV. You're going to see that Rumble's taking place without fans. I know this was a big question we've been getting for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I think a couple of weeks ago we said, you know, listen, the closer we get to this, the more the likelihood of them having a live audience for Rumble is getting less because the numbers are not great. You know, all across the country, it's not great. So it's not like they're gonna want to do that now. But also, logistically, to bring people into the Thunderdome to kind of put it. I'm sorry.
Are you falling asleep?
I'm dying here. And he called. My eyes are on fire because I turned the air conditioner on in the studio and it blew something. So I may be melting right now. But the logistics of taking apart that Thunderdome or redoing the Thunderdome to fit people in doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks, I mean, I would imagine that WrestleMania may do it. And then we're going to, the rumor was, right, that after WrestleMania, they're going to be touring again somewhat. But where the hell are they going to go? And they got to get out of that Tropicana Field because baseball's starting.
Yeah,
in January, in April, isn't it? Yeah. So where the hell they're gonna go? This is gonna be a big problem, and I don't know what the answer here is because what's available, right? Mm-hmm. I think the question is gonna be what's available for them to use. A baseball stadium is not gonna be available for them to use because guess what? Baseball's back. Basketball is not gonna be available for them to use because basketball is back. So now where are you going to go? You're going to go to a college building, right? You're going to possibly go to a college?
That kind of makes sense.
Or some random outdoor venue? I mean, indoor, outdoor venue? I don't know. I don't know where the next possible step for them is if they're not doing a live audience and touring. So that's a big question here. It's a tremendous question here. Dude, you know what, though? Somebody said, well, they could always go back to the Performance Center. I don't think they can at this point.
No,
I don't think they can go back to the Performance Center because obviously the Performance Center has the look now and it's a much better outfitted place for them to be than it was before they left. But, you know, you made a big deal about going into the Thunderdome and it kind of revitalized the product, really, from being the stagnant, stale thing that you watch every week. They got to go somewhere else. I don't know what the answer here is. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, It's kind of interesting how they're so up. WWE is so up in the air about this. Maybe they'll build another structure.
Maybe,
you know, like if they have some kind of like land deal or property deal, they can build another structure easily. They don't have the fortune of having like a location like Daily's Place, even though it's outdoors, which I feel like in the next month, it might be a little more on the brutal
they're leaving.
Side.
They're leaving. They're going to Miami. Okay. Yeah. AEW's going to be leaving Daly's Place for a little bit and going somewhere else because it is getting a little cold there. So I don't know. We'll see. But COVID outbreak in WWE. And then there was news that came out this week that was it Nick that had COVID?
Nick had COVID a while ago.
In September.
And he said it really KO'd him for a while.
Yeah. And Jericho had it also in September, and he said he was asymptomatic and he really didn't feel much. But, you know, a lot of people were speculating as to when the hell he would have had it because he was on TV. But I think people are forgetting they were filming a bunch of stuff in one shot at that point in September. So, listen, I expect AEW was like, okay, he's sick. He's not coming on TV. They're not going to sacrifice and risk people's health, and of course the perception of having Chris Jericho there with COVID they're a lot smarter than that, so I'm not very concerned with what they did in the handling,
especially since he had that concert that ended up being at a super spreader.
When was Sturgis?
He was off AEW for like 2 or 3 weeks, right? And I think part of that reason was him doing like a mini tour with Fozzy.
He did Sturgis in August. It was like August 7th to the 16th. So whatever date that would have been.
I mean, it's obviously not Jericho's fault that event became a super spreader, but I feel like now it's just associated with him.
Yeah.
By default, you know.
Well, a lot of things are associated with Jericho right now.
Right, you know, and it's kind of bizarre. You know, like we don't have to get into all that stuff, but I think it's like, it's very interesting to say the least.
Yes. So we'll see what happens. And then now there's a contract issue going on, right? Rumors came out this week, and I want to talk about this a little bit, because this is an interesting conversation when you have guys and you're hearing rumors about contracts being open and where people go. A lot of people were under the impression that mostly a lot of these WWE guys were locked in. You know, when AEW came in, WWE did a great job at locking people into longer term deals, so they don't jump over somewhere else. We saw how that backfired with the pandemic and them having to cut, you know, tremendous amount of people, and everybody's all over the place. But you got a couple names here that's interesting. Ricochet is one name that's coming up.
Yeah.
And people are saying how he has not re-signed his contract. And Matt Riddle has apparently not re-signed his contract. I don't know about Riddle because I thought Riddle had more time left. But Ricochet is a name that we have been talking about forever on how you want to talk about mishandling a guy in a company, right? Yeah. And how hot this guy was. I never expected Vince to be like, that guy, I'm putting the belt on him. He's the future of this company. But
he
is. I mean, you look at a guy and you're like, oh, you want to get younger fans? You want to bring more excitement? It's this dude right here. He's like a superhero. He goes to NXT. Cash in on that. He goes to NXT. Very short period of time. He was in NXT. He does the North American title stuff. He doesn't really do anything in a main title picture. They bump him right up to the main roster. And once he's on the roster, what do they do with him? Not much.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because, like, we've been hot on this guy for a while, you know, and, you know, you really got to see him shine in New Japan. And then when he came to NXT, we were excited, you know, because, like, when he came to NXT, it was that rebuilding phase, you know, that the NXT of old used to do where, you know, when your top guys left, they would have to fill those spots. Finn Balor left. They filled that spot with Samoa Joe and Nakamura. Nakamura, Samoa Joe leave. They filled it with Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre, Andrade, etc. You know, Ricochet on the main roster, kind of a flub, unfortunately, because when you have a guy with such a dynamic style that Ricochet does and they throw him on the main roster, the guy who could do the moonsault is just like everybody else on the roster. You know, so they haven't really showcased exactly what this guy could do. I think he'd be better off somewhere else as a fan.
Dude, what great. You want to know the comparison here? Look at Will Ospreay. He just had a match with Okada.
Right.
Okay. And look at where Ricochet is. Just those two were being compared in such a parallel way 4 years ago, right?
Absolutely.
When did they do that flippy thing that the internet lost their minds and they said this is the end of pro wrestling?
2017 or 2016?
I want to say, 2017. And the internet lost their freaking minds on how it's all over. They blew the business. Kayfabe is dead because they're doing flips. So,
so stupid.
So look from that point on where their career paths went. Will Ospreay is getting slowly in that main event title picture situation at New Japan. Yeah. And Ricochet got rid of his pants.
Right.
Wild.
I think his talents are better served elsewhere. And at this point, he can go anywhere and make a positive impact for any company. AEW, sure. New Japan, boom. One more time, right? Ring of Honor, cool. MLW, this guy could show up. Fantastic, right? He would be a great addition to any locker room. I just think he's unfortunately one of those guys that got swept under the rug for longer than he should have. You know, and I'll parallel Cedric Alexander to that too. He was a hot signing after that Cruiserweight Classic, right? Like he blew everybody away.
It was a
slow burn for him. And now they're actually kind of doing something with him in the Hurt Business, which I think is a great faction to get these guys over again.
You know what? You know? Very good faction. It's a great faction. Great faction.
Yeah. It works.
Listen, it's working for who knows. I mean, listen, we know why, right? It's when things click and things move very quickly. Right. and they put together a really good group of guys that work well together, that makes sense. But you got to really look at, you know, to look at this year and to judge WWE is really hard. You really can't. And it makes it difficult for us because a lot of this is looking back at certain things that they've done over the year or so and saying like, well, they got this right. They didn't get this right. I can't point where they went wrong this year because of everything that happened. But I could tell you guys like Andrade, Ricochet, Aleister Black, their careers grinded to a halt.
Yes.
And listen, a lot of that has to do with Paul Heyman, right? And Paul getting out of the creative on Raw. But I don't know how you could take proven entities like Aleister Black and Ricochet. Forget about Aleister. Let's take Ricochet out of this because I could come up with the excuses of you know, apologists saying, well, this is why Ricochet didn't work. But you look at Aleister Black, and you know that you had something very special with this guy.
100%.
In NXT, between the intro and the in-ring and just the overall look and presentation, you're like, okay, you know what? This is something special. How do you break that?
Oh, well, leave it to the WWE and they'll break it. They'll do like, it almost seems like they will do anything in their power not to have cool shit.
I don't think, and again, I don't know if we could blame those three on this year, but I could tell you with conversations that I've had with people there regularly, even people within the writing staff that we talk to, their response is, dude, I don't know. Like, it's such a, the person that told us about the Mandalorian and Sasha Banks, right? There's a lot, like when we read that conversation, because he said we can certain things, but there was a lot that he said that I don't want to mention because it exposes people, and I don't want to do that to anybody. You know, I don't want to sacrifice anybody's job or anything like that. But you know, to kind of sum up the conversation, it was, dude, the process is put in place with failure. The way that process is structured on getting a guy over, it's set to fail, not do well. It has nothing to do with the fans. It has, and by the way, it's not Vince either, right? Unless you say Vince is the decision maker, so it is him. But it's just the way that this process has become such a bureaucracy and so large, things don't get done. And when they do, it's too late. Look at Matt Riddle. Here we go. Matt Riddle's another great example of this, right? We could talk about. Let's take the sexual allegations out. Let's take all of that out of play, right? Because even before that, we were seeing that. Obviously, listen, if I'm a company and I'm hearing this, I'm going to want to do, and I don't know if WWE did or did not, but I would want to do a real thorough investigation. And during that process, I'm going to say, listen, let's cool off on you and then we'll figure it out. But they didn't do that. They just plowed on with the terribleness.
Right.
I mean, I can't. Somebody sent me a clip of the show, a new viewer, right? A new viewer to the show. And he was saying like, oh, I went down your stuff. I really liked it. It's really funny. I found an old episode where you're talking about Matt Riddle and how he's only had like 20 matches and how this guy's going to be better than Kurt Angle.
Wow.
Which we were saying that. I think we went to one of like his first couple, first 50, first 60, you know, that first year of working. We saw him how many times, and we were blown away by him.
We were blown away by him, but also I think our immediate reaction was, yeah, this guy's huge. Of course they're going to sign him.
He's gigantic.
Like physically, he's like a physically big person, you know. Well, and the same thing on those shows as well was Drew, and that was our gut reaction too. We're like, yeah, this guy's gigantic. They're going to sign him.
ASAP. We saw. You know, I don't know if you went. No, I don't think you came with us for that one. I took Jess to Evolve. It was me, Jess. I think Ayaz came too. The great Ayaz. Great. Ayaz Akhtar. Right now, by the way, Ayaz is doing some killer coverage for CNET right now for CES. This guy's been, he hasn't slept in about 6 days. He's just covering CNET, everything. He's just doing everything over there. Any tech device. CNET. Yeah, he's like, hey, it's a great Ayaz Akhtar. I got a product here that you can't miss. And then it's just a remote control, and he talks about a remote control for 35 minutes. That's all he does over there.
Not even a good one. Just
not even a good one. Just he's like, hey, guys. Yeah, he's like, hey, guys, the great Baez Akhtar here for CNET, and check this out. And he holds something random, and he's like, I'll be back right after this. And then he does like a whole review of a product.
It's a Tamagotchi.
I think that's what he needs to start doing.
You were saying, I was at that show when Drew came out from the backstage area, and we were like, yo, this dude is 1,000 feet tall.
Is that the one where I was zooming in on his butt the whole time and just posting it on the Matt Men Twitter? Were
that
you
was at a different
that one?
Show.
That was a different show. Okay.
That was a different show.
Yeah. But so he got up. So he got up on the apron at the show and just looked at me. He's like, how is he going to fit in that ring? Because he looks so big. You know what I mean? Compared to everybody else. And I think Johnny Gargano was on that card. Or Roddy was on the card. I can't remember. It might have been both, actually. But they were, it's wild, the size difference.
Yeah. Let's get back to the Matt Riddle thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like you were saying, it seems like as from a fan's perspective, it looks like that WWE system is setting up where if you're not a chosen talent, it looks like you're being set up to fail. Ricochet is a good example of that. Now, apparently, the story is that Vince likes the humor that Matt Riddle has brought to Raw, so that's why he's on TV, as opposed to his talent, which I think is unfortunate. You know, like, where do you see Matt Riddle going in the next couple of years?
I don't know. The rumors are that he hasn't re-signed his contract. I thought he had time on his deal, so I don't even know. Ricochet is very possible he's running out of time and he hasn't re-signed. And he wasn't out with an injury or anything for an extended period of time. So I think he's coming to an end. Listen, man, I think he needs to do what's best for him. You know, what do you think is going to be great for his career? What's going to be best for his career? Is it staying at WWE and collecting the money and knowing that, you know, you got something, you got a machine behind you that's going to keep paying you and put you on TV and be profiled? You know, like we were talking about Jay White last week, for example.
Yes.
We got a lot of emails on this. I said, I think Jay White should go to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, why? Why would he go to WWE? And I think it just to get over to that level where you become this. And I think Jay White's going to be this mega star. I think, you know, you look at how Seth Rollins became a star in WWE. I think Jay White's capable of that, especially in WWE. But where do you think he's going to get the most exposure, be able to kind of grow into this, you know, top level character? Is it AEW? Or is it WWE?
I personally think he's staying in New Japan.
I think this is all a work also. I don't know if you saw this today. Sean Ross Sapp reported that he's off the New Japan roster on their website. They removed him from the website.
Yeah, I think he's taking time off because, and I'll tell you why, I saw this from... kind of, I don't want to say a reliable source, but something was re-brought to my attention where I was like, okay, and it sounded very familiar that 4 years ago, he signed a 7-year deal. So Jay White might still have 3 years on his contract in New Japan.
I believe Dave said that Jay White had mentioned to him that he had a 7-year contract. I think that's a crazy long contract. I don't even know if they've ever done that. I think it could just be, you know, a joke, or it could be
right
because they don't, Japan doesn't do long term deals like that. It was yearly, and then they started doing 2-year deals. I can see a 3-year deal, but would you want to sign a 7-year contract?
I think, well, you have to also think like at that point, Jay White's 28 now, so 4 years ago, he would have been 24, right? And if you're 24,
they're saying that he signed it 4 years ago,
right? So he has 3 more years on that deal, apparently. Again, this is just kind of like, this is not for sure, but it was familiar enough to think like this whole thing's a work and he still has a few years on that deal, you know, because like when that deal is over, he's going to be 31. Still
very young.
Still super young and probably going to be even better than he is now. You know, like I feel like Jay White is like one of the New Japan prodigies, you know?
Yeah, listen, I think he's a pro wrestling prodigy. I gave this example and I'm going to the person I was having a conversation with and you guys, let me know what you think. If Seth Rollins, right? If AEW existed when Seth Rollins decided to go to WWE from Ring of Honor, where would he have done better? Going to WWE or AEW? It's WWE. The answer is WWE. It's a machine. 100%. If you don't have that exposure in the state, and listen, I'm not saying that this is going to happen or anything. I could be wrong, and it doesn't matter. If I'm wrong, it's even better for Jay White. But WWE does have an ability. If they see it in you, they could turn you into a tremendous, tremendous blockbuster star.
Well,
if they want to.
If they want to. And I think at this point in the modern history of WWE, you're either going to be a Vince guy or a Triple H guy, right? And if you're in either one of those, you're going to get pushed to the moon. Great example, Finn Balor. If Finn Balor wasn't a Triple H guy, he probably would have gotten lost in the shuffle.
Comedy angles.
From day one with comedy angles, right? Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, I think, is a Triple H guy. You know, he's been a fixture on WWE television for the last, three, four years, maybe?
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins, I think. Seth Rollins is, like, the ultimate Triple H guy, right? Because I remember when they signed Tyler Black,
it was such
a big deal, and a lot of interviews with Triple H saying, like, he's got an attitude problem, but we can mold him into one of the greats. And that's what they did, you know? Like, they took him, and they put the machine behind it, like you were just saying, and they shot him to the moon, you know? Like, how great. We always talk about, like, great moments in pro wrestling. In the modern day, I think Seth cashing in at WrestleMania, easily top 10.
You know what? I would say that would definitely be one of those moments, right? Because it's a moment that you remember. The fact that you're bringing it up now kind of shows how much emphasis should be put on that moment. That was a real big display. You know, you had two Shield guys in that match against Brock Lesnar. I don't think anybody wanted to see either one of them win. I think people were genuinely surprised, and that works.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't a swerve. It was a genuine surprise when his music hit, he came out with a briefcase. Even though he's a heel and he just got murdered by Randy Orton earlier in the night, you applauded this. You wanted to see this happen.
Exactly. The other, and I want to kind of bring up another point as far as, like, contract signings go. Remember when Ibushi was in the Cruiserweight Classic and refused to sign a deal with WWE, and people thought he was crazy, right?
They thought he was nuts, yeah.
And look where that dude is now.
You know what? That's actually another great example. Ibushi, if he had signed with them, he would have been used for that 205 division. You know what you would have been seeing?
Ibushi versus Enzo?
Yep. That would have been the matches you were getting. You were going to get Ibushi versus Enzo Amore for that title.
Do you think that?
I want you to think about that.
Of his career, where, like, he would have gotten that cruiser belt, and then he would be fighting. I mean, like, that 205 roster was fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
But great talent.
It would be Ibushi versus Enzo, Ibushi versus Daivari, Ibushi versus Brian Kendrick, you know, Ibushi, on like a loop.
Yeah. Graham and Talik.
Yeah, Graham and Talik. I find that very interesting. And then he would show up on NXT. I feel like they would turn him into a comedy character.
Ibushi, I don't know, man. I can't deal with that. But you know what I mean? Like, one small decision impacts the entire trajectory. I mean, listen, it's not a small decision, but it's a minute decision in the grand scheme of your life. Do I take this job or not? You know, and luckily for him, he didn't. And he's become, you know, the king of the hill. He's Hank Hill now.
That's what they call him in Japan.
Yeah. They call him the Hank Hill of wrestling.
Dang it, Bobby. But that's pretty good.
You want to hear my shocked Hank Hill voice?
Please.
Whoa.
That's okay. I like the one you did before that better. Work on it. Work on it more. You're not really known for your voices.
In my own mind, I am.
You do a decent Tony Soprano.
That's it.
Which we're bringing back. Yeah. We're going to be doing Matt Prano's soon on Patreon.
Matt Prano's on Patreon again that we've never done. I like that we have these imaginary shows that we've never done.
We'll do them. So who else's contract is coming up? And also, I think what wrestling fans don't realize is what makes us think that these guys are going to get immediately scooped up by AEW, where Tony Khan could turn around and say, hey, look, we have too many guys. Like, we don't need, you know.
I think a guy like Ricochet, I think a guy like Ricochet is special enough that you could, he would be such an amazing hand to have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could put him anywhere on that roster. And I'm, you know, even as a mid-card guy, he would be able to elevate that level of talent. And again, this goes back to exactly what, you know, you want to talk about the 80s boom, right? You want to talk about, like, even like the late 80s, early 90s of wrestling at their peak,
yeah.
88, 89, 90. That WWE mid-card was stacked with top-level talent.
Oh, my God,
And the Attitude Era, listen, the Attitude Era is a little bit convoluted, we'll go into, but you look at that 80s, 90s, 80s, early 90s roster, that mid-card was... at anybody's promotion, they would have been a world champion. There were world champions on there.
Oh, forget it. Like,
you know, unbelievably stacked. So a guy like Ricochet, inserting him in an AEW mid-card would be a major improvement.
That's a very interesting point that you just made, where in 80s and 90s, WWE mid-card was so stacked and solid.
88 to 91, I would say. 88 to 91. Their mid-card was ridiculous.
Was Dusty in that mid-card?
Yeah.
Was Harley Race in that mid-card and Greg Valentine?
Harley wasn't Russ. Harley would have been 87, 88.
Perfect.
You had Kurt Hennig. You had Rick Rude. You had Jake Roberts.
Jake, yeah. Oh, right? Heavy hitters.
And then you slowly had Bret Hart enter that in 90, 91. You had Tito Santana.
Luger. Yeah.
Luger 93, but forget about the bad years, right? I'm only going like 88 to 90, 87 to 90. Boss Man was a draw. Bad News Brown, Piper. You had such a tremendous mid-card that didn't even matter if they were facing Hulk Hogan for the title, because nobody was facing Hulk, but they had to do it due to necessity, because you couldn't have people lose to Hogan. You didn't want to have Jake Roberts, you know, get ruined to Hogan, or Perfect get ruined to Hogan. So you would maybe do it on a house show, but you wouldn't have it be a program. So you kept these guys in the mid-card. Jake Roberts never held a freaking title in WWE, but yet he's one of the most memorable guys of all time in that company's history.
Absolutely. Same thing with Mr. Perfect.
Kurt Hennig, same thing. Yeah.
So you think a AEW going forward, that they should structure that mid-card. I guess their mid-card would be the TNT Championship. Right,
it's a TNT championship, but they already have somewhat of that. You know, you look at this, like Brian, you put a tweet out saying, you know, where does Brian Cage go from here? I agree with you. By the way, that match was great. I love that match. However,
match was awesome. Yeah.
What does this mean for Brian Cage? I get the rocket to Darby Allin. Right. There's a demo that is very much into the character, and I think Darby Allin this year will be what Orange Cassidy was becoming before the pandemic.
Just like completely on fire.
Like, you know what? There's a younger demo that's really into him.
Okay. I think I'll agree with that. I think Darby is, with that belt, I feel like he's set to be kind of like their version of like a young Jericho or like a young Edge.
I don't know.
Mid-card for a few years and then main event at some point.
I don't think Darby Allin should. Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to say anybody should or shouldn't, but I don't think it makes sense for him to be in a world title positioning. There's no, okay. I don't find that to be a likely or smart scenario. I just don't. I don't think the style works. I don't think it works on that level.
Okay.
But here's the other problem, right? So he's facing Brian Cage. Brian Cage is a gigantic human being.
Yes.
I don't think Brian Cage should be feuding with Darby Allin. Even though the match was fine, it was good. It was a pretty cool match. I don't like it, because you're now telling me that this gargantuan sized human being, that's a really good wrestler, lost to somebody that's 100 pounds lighter than him. You already set up that story. So does this hurt Brian Cage, or does this not do anything? Does this elevate Darby Allin? I think it elevates Darby because he's getting a big rub from Sting too. But
oh yeah,
you know, like, what do you do if you're Brian Cage? You just lost to a guy that's 170 pounds soaking wet.
I think that win loss, quote unquote, burial mentality. We're so conditioned by WWE where when we see it on TV, and rightly so, we're like, oh, this guy's done. You know, like, this guy's going to be on main event for the next like 2 years. Right. I think with AEW, they do a good job of like wins and losses don't really hurt the guy. And I think that program I really like. But the reason I wanted to put that question out there was, here's a guy who has the looks, the charisma, the talent. Where do you put him now? You know, like, is this feud with Darby done? Is he going to defend that FTW title? You know, it's kind of like the show is so jam-packed already. Like, where do you put this guy?
I don't know. You know, I would have him start defending that FTW title more and just do his own thing until you figure out where you're going to put him and have him in, you know, have him win his matches. Mm-hmm. I know that they've been doing that. His record is solid because they keep showing it. But this is the other thing, right? AEW has a pretty decent mid card if you think about it. They got a very 100% strong mid card between Pac, Eddie Kingston, Darby Allin, Brian Cage. Hey, is not there. You know what? Hey, I kind of want to see Nicolas Cage. Yes, the Nicolas Cage.
Who am I wrestling tonight? Oh, this guy.
I like that Nick Cage. I like that. But I don't know beyond, like, I think it's cool that they got such a strong mid card that I want to see. But now, like, okay, when you take a guy, you pluck him out and you say, okay, now he's going to the main event picture. You better do a good job with plucking that guy out and he doesn't look like a total dope, because now coming back down, it becomes a problem.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know,
You have Brian Cage in a faction too, which I think helps him. You know, like, specifically, like, him, the team of him and Ricky Starks is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm into it. I like it a lot. Guys, Q&A time. Let's do our Q&A segment. If you're watching this live in the chat room, we're live each and every week on Thursdays at 11 a.m. East. You could join the chat and submit your questions there. If you are listening to this after the fact, hey guys, be sure to subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. On Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anywhere. Pick your favorite podcast app, put in Matt Men Podcast, and subscribe to us. Also here on YouTube, you can subscribe to us here. The show's available. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. And also, we have a Patreon. If you enjoy the show, you could fund us for as little as $1 per episode. Patreon.com/Matt Men Podcast. You can go there and fund us there. Guys, submit your questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. Rich, you want to pick some?
All right. John Gorman, what did you guys make of the Sammy and T-Bar exchange? Did T-Bar work himself into a shoot?
That was bizarre.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Apparently, Sammy Guevara tweeted at him about a finishing move, and I don't know what happened with T-Bar or whatever. I don't know, man. I think that stuff is bizarre. I feel like, from a fan's perspective, it seems like Retribution is just in, like, there's a weird hole that is going to be impossible to come out of. And speaking of contracts, apparently these guys' contracts are up too.
Who? At least Retribution.
I think, I mean, Dijakovic.
Dijakovic is so good.
Oh, he's amazing.
Like, he's a big dude, and they shaved his head and they put a freaking mask on him. Bizarre. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that whole Retribution thing. I thought it was going to be something very different than it is.
Yes.
But, you know, it wasn't even the Sammy thing. Mm-mm. with T-Bar. You know what really was bizarre? With, what's it? Was it Dax he went back with?
Yeah, I think so. And he's like, it was one of the revival.
And he's like, I don't know what your problem with me is. I don't think you ever liked me. I'm like, whoa, what's happening here?
Airing their grievances.
What? And let me just tell you, nobody knows outside of a very small group of wrestling fans about the whole, like, asking for permission for moves. Nobody knows about that, and nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that. So I think maybe, I don't know how, I have no idea. I think maybe it was just him being funny, and then it turned into something. I can't imagine anybody cares that Sammy Guevara does this move that T-Bar does.
Yeah, it's bizarre, man. Who knows? It's wrestling Twitter is one thing, but then like wrestling Twitter between wrestlers, that's a whole other ballgame.
I mean, did everybody ask for permission to use any of these finishers? You know, I get it. Yeah. It's not even a finisher. Listen, if it's Steve Austin and you start doing a stunner, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But you're doing a rock bottom. You're calling it a rock bottom. You're not gonna go to, you know, get permission to use it, or someone's gonna be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't use that move. I don't think anybody cares. I think it just came off bizarre.
You know what I would do if I was a wrestler?
What?
I wouldn't ask Austin permission for the stunner. I'd ask him permission for the Luthez press.
That's the one that you want to ask him.
Because I love that Luthez press, because it was like him hitting the rope super hard and then jumping on the dude. I always thought that looked so amazing, and it always popped me during a match.
I never understood how he did it with the knee braces.
Yeah.
Because he would drop down on his... That could not have been comfortable for him.
No, not at all. But it always looked dynamite. Sure, you could take my move, kiddo.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Steve.
You sure? Absolutely.
Does he say kiddo and like rough your hair up a little bit?
He tussles my hair and doesn't realize I'm a 39-year-old man. Here you go, kid. Like, oh, thanks, man. I'm just a podcaster. It's okay. You could do it on your podcast.
Just do it, man. It's all right.
I'll give you my blessing.
I love it.
All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Worked Shoot Wrestling Podcast. Do the negative outweigh the positives? Do the negatives outweigh the positives? Should AEW sign Tessa Blanchard?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an. I honestly, I don't have an answer. I think long term wise, yeah. Are you talking about just the negative attitude from Tessa Blanchard that people have talked about? Because everybody has said that there's been a major turnaround in the last, you know. Even when everything came down last January with her getting essentially canceled for things that she had possibly said, allegedly said, I don't know. But long-term wise, yeah, she's a great talent. It is a positive if she's turned herself around and she's a good influence on other people and could put on great matches. Yeah, I think, but... I think she is a great hand to have for anybody. I don't know where she's going to go. I thought it was more likely WWE than anything else. We're now, you know, she's been a free agent for some time now. So,
yeah,
she hasn't gone anywhere. I don't know if that has to do with the fact that they don't want to use that now. You know, it's possible she could show up for the Women's Rumble and set something up. I don't know if you want to bring her to the main roster. I do think she's a main roster talent for WWE instead of an NXT person. I think she kind of get lost in NXT a little bit, but you put her on the main roster, the opportunity in those matches are freaking endless to have great matches.
I'll agree with that. I also think I feel like AEW won't sign her. I mean, they're really trying their best to improve that women's roster situation, and I'm going to use last night's match as an example. Serena Deeb versus Tay Conti was fantastic. Great.
How good has she gotten?
I think she's always been good, but they really let her loose last night.
Listen,
you know?
I think she, there was something there when she first came in. You could tell Absolutely. That, okay, there's talent there, but holy moly, yesterday I'm watching, I'm like, she has to be training like a madman. Yeah. Or a mad woman, because the level of improvement that I've seen, just even like the way she's hitting the ropes and the way she's standing up after being down, those are those tiny little things that really change how good of a worker you are.
Well, she was in the WWE system for a while, right?
I don't know how long she was there. Maybe a couple of years now.
She was in developmental, but I think the way WWE works is like she's a legit like trained fighter, right? And I think the way WWE works is like, oh, that's great. You can do karate, but can you do the pro wrestle? And I think they
don't like the pro wrestle.
Yeah, they don't like to have that that realness sometimes, but last night's match proved otherwise. You know, like she could work in that shoot fighting style into a pro wrestling match and have it look awesome.
Yeah.
You ready to move on to another question?
Let's do it. By the way, Tay Conti was a borderline, almost a Olympic level jiu-jitsu expert.
There you go.
So she had participated in trials for the Brazilian Olympic team in 2016, mm-hmm. just prior to joining WWE. But, you know, she has gymnastics as a background. She has, very well-rounded athlete.
The fundamentals are there.
Yeah.
I got texted a question from my buddy Alex.
Oh, nice.
Is stealing a move in wrestling like stealing a joke in comedy?
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
Yes, I think it is. I think it's the same on a big picture level, right? On a main level. You know, if you're on the top of that roster and all of a sudden now you start using a move, but you're not doing it out of parody or you're just doing it as you listen, great example.
Yeah.
Someone starts doing an F5, right? A big dude. Wardlow's finish now is the F5, and he calls it an F5, and he's
F10.
F10. He calls it an F10. Yeah. Did he steal his move?
I think that's creative license. I think there's such an interesting, like, gray area with pro wrestling. Like, for example, who does the Superman punch? Roman Reigns, right? That's his thing. It's okay if Orange Cassidy does it because he's a smaller dude, much like it was okay when Hurricane did the choke slam because it's parody, right?
Huh.
But if, let's say, Kenny Omega busts out a pedigree.
Kenny Omega busts out a pedigree and he calls it something else and that's his move now?
And that's his finisher. Like, I feel like the internet would explode, number one.
I think the internet would explode.
Number two, that's kind of an interesting, like, for visually, from a fan's perspective, you're kind of like, oh shit, like, did he just steal Triple H's move? What's the story behind this? Did he ask for permission? Which is mind-boggling. But when you hear a comedian do somebody else's joke, I feel like you're not like, oh, did he ask permission?
You're like, oh, no, he stole it. Yeah, he stole it.
Did he ask Jerry Seinfeld if he could do that joke about airline food? You know?
Yeah. What's the deal?
Okay. So I feel like it's on the same level, you know, in a weird way.
In a weird way.
Let's see. Charlie Orr, what is the direction as far as the location for WrestleMania? Is it confirmed for Tampa Bay and will there be fans?
It was. I mean, as far as I know, they were going to do Tampa. Mm-hmm. It's been very, here's the thing, right? It's been very quiet. Okay. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Generally, when things are quiet, I take it that they have an idea. That's me saying it. I'm not saying I feel like whenever things slow down a little bit with the chatter, that means that they have the plan, mm-hmm. they're sticking to it, and it's going to get unveiled soon. I don't know. I think it is possible to have fans, but we were supposed to have fans in July, guys. And then in September, we were supposed to have fans. And it's not that it's bad information and people are leaking stuff that they shouldn't be. I just think it's the logistics of pulling this off with fans in the middle of a global pandemic. Regardless of how you feel about this pandemic, the reality is people are getting sick. So does WWE want to be perceived as somebody that put, you know, 30,000-40,000 people at risk?
Right.
Listen, we've seen we've seen football, for example, mm-hmm. 14,000-16,000 people. I think that we hit 30,000 in certain buildings, mm-hmm. but it's a team rather than the WWE. You know, WWE does it. I feel like it would be way more eyeballs saying like this is irresponsible than the NFL doing it. Just how WWE is perceived. It's same thing. At the end of the day, you're putting a bunch of people in a building with the mm-hmm. with a risk of getting sick. I'm leaning towards WWE will have people at WrestleMania to some extent. But if they are, they got to call it now because how the hell are you going to sell tickets?
Right. Well, I mean,
with no travel.
Oh, my God. I think that's built in. I think people will find a way to get there. You know, people will drive. They'll hitchhike. They'll do what they can. But I think it's built in if they were like, hey, we're we're doing our show at an 80,000 seat arena. We're only selling 10,000 tickets. I feel like it would sell out in like 2 seconds, you know, because people want to go back to their sense of normalcy and see live events again. But you're right. WWE would come under a lot of intense scrutiny just because they're who they are.
Yeah.
If they did, honestly, like if, excuse me, if they did a structure like the bubble for NBA, where they had like a nice open area where you could have people in attendance, like limited with the screens on top, kind of like what they've done for NXT, but a little bigger, I think that would make more sense, you know, and that would be a lot more fun. It would add a different level to it.
Yeah. I don't know. I we'll see. I mean, listen, whatever the answers, we're going to get in the next month. Mm-hmm. 3 to 4, 3 to 6 weeks or so, because you have no other choice. You're going to have to address this. And then you're going to have to address what the plan is moving forward. It's January 14th now. Mm-hmm. The Tropicana needs to be occupied and get ready for baseball.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to need it soon. Right? When do you think they get... Actually, Bob Rowe in our chat room, he would have the answer to this. When are they going to start going back into their stadiums? For baseball. Mm-hmm. Probably sometime in February. You're going to have to get the logistics worked out and the building and go through the proper steps that you're going to have to take to bring people into these possible stadiums. So you're going to need time. We'll see what happens. I think this is going to be... You want to talk about the convolutedness and the confusion that's going to surround? I think this is going to be the most confusing time period when everything is coming back and they don't have a location to hold a residency. That's going to become a problem.
Absolutely. Next question?
Yes.
John Gorman, what do you make of Roman Reigns versus Adam Pearce, and do you think that match sticks, or is it just part of the story to do Roman versus KO at the Rumble?
Go ahead.
I lost my shit when you got Adam Pearce in the main event of SmackDown last week. At the beginning of the show, I was like, yo, are they going to let Scrap Daddy wrestle?
Yeah. Dude, I'm okay with... Listen, interesting, right? I want to see that match. People are like, I don't want to see that match. I'm like, I want to see that match.
Absolutely.
That's a treat for me to see Adam Pearce have... I mean, think about it. Adam Pearce in a main event match with Roman Reigns in 2021, not a prediction I could have seen at all. However,
not at all.
You know what? What if you have Pierce come out there and come out in his regular wrestling gear, comes out and has a really good freaking match? You're like, holy crap, what the hell just happened?
I would love to see that. And listen, the dude is a multiple time NWA champion.
Yes.
So why not, man? Why not? Finally, they're like, Vince looked at him one day and was like, hey, you're a pretty big guy. Did you ever think about wrestling? And then he just gives him like an old VHS tape.
Yeah, here you go. Watch me and Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson have a match.
I think it's a road. You're going to get the match. You're also probably going to get Roman versus KO and Roman versus Nakamura. It looked like Nakamura turned face on SmackDown.
Yes, he turned face.
They're finally, I think his contract's coming up, and they're finally putting him, they're shining him on a good light because they want to keep him.
Is it coming up? But wait a minute. Is it coming up?
I think so.
Because I was told he re-signed with them. He re-signed when AEW existed.
Really?
Or coming into existence.
Huh.
Because the answer was that he likes being where he is and that, you know, his family's here and he likes to surf. He has a really cushy position there at that company. And he's comfortable. So I would be shocked if that's true, because I was under the impression that he had signed. That could have been 2 years ago.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's possible it could have been 2 years ago. Listen, maybe it is coming up. Maybe you are right. Maybe my timeline is all warped because of being inside all the time.
You're still in the coma.
I'm still, dude, I have not left. I got microdosed, and this is where I'm living now. So this is all fake.
Another question here. With Trump out of office soon, do you think any of the restrictions will tighten in Florida that could affect wrestling?
Listen, anything is possible, right? I don't know. But I am going to say that more people, especially... More states are now understanding the detriment to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Even here in New York, our governor that has been very much about closing things down. He's saying, no, it's time to open up businesses, not close businesses. Less restriction is needed because the states are going bankrupt with no tourism. No, you know, they're going to start. They're hemorrhaging right now because they're not able to collect taxes the way that they were. So I don't see it being, unless you do a 100 day shutdown, you know, unless you do something like that, which would be,
that wouldn't
be so great, but I would be shocked if there are more restrictions being put in place now. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I would be really surprised. MLB schedule begins on 4-1. So that makes sense. They got to be out of that Thunderdome right after WrestleMania.
Right. Okay.
So we're back to that timeline. I guess it is an accurate timeline because by 4-1, they got to be out of there. Or at least that first week, they got to be out of there because baseball's starting.
Here's another question that's kind of pertinent to what you were just talking about. From Eric, do you think Cuomo would let WWE use the Nassau Coliseum? It's empty, and the owners pretty much said they were bankrupt.
Islanders are playing there.
Okay.
Right? Because Belmont's not going to be their new stadium is not going to be completed. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know what? It is interesting that Cuomo allowed Buffalo to run with 6,700 fans last Saturday. They said this is somewhat of a pilot program, and the procedures that they're putting in place here is what they're going to be doing at the Garden. Because the rumors are that the Rangers are going to have people at the Garden in probably April-ish, May-ish. They're looking to have people for hockey. So I think this is somewhat of a pilot program. I think it's possible. I know WWE really wants to be at the Garden in September.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that from numerous people from within MSG and within the company. So as far as we know, probably July and August, you're going to see people back in these buildings. Right? We're going to see that. It's just
limited
a matter
capacity.
What capacity?
Limited capacity.
I would say 50%, and then you could slowly bump it. I mean, by September, you're going to have Broadway come back. So, and you can't have Broadway at 50% capacity. A lot of this is financial, right? Does it make sense to open up your building at 50%? You know, you got to look at the pros and cons of operating costs. So for maybe for Broadway, it's not, but maybe for the Knicks, you could do 50%.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a lot of we'll see where that goes. I'm hearing 500 things right now. I think a lot of people are getting very excited, but we still have about 2 months left to go.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the new Shia Lee presentation?
I think we need more Mortal Kombat characters. I said this last week.
We did say this last week,
I love it, by the way. I really like the gimmick. I don't know why.
Oh, same here. Yeah. It's good stuff. I like they took, she was just a wrestler, and I think they're molding her into something else, which is really cool, especially for the NXT women's roster. Thoughts on MSK debuting last night, the Rascals from Impact.
Yeah. The Rascal. I'm curious where they go. They called them the Rascals. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't. I watch it with the sound off.
Oh, you did? Okay. So that's how I watch everything, actually. I watch all my TV shows with the sound off, and I just imagine what they're saying.
Just lip reading?
That's how I watched Game of Thrones.
You just put it together?
Yeah, I just put the whole thing together. I have a very different story in my head than you do. I don't know. We'll see.
Another question from Work Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on MLW leaning into a dead company like Lucha Underground in their storyline?
Say that again, Rich. I lost you in my headphone.
What are your thoughts of MLW leaning into a dead company like Lucha Underground in their storylines?
I don't know. You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm fine with that. I think that's pretty... I found it interesting. I gotta watch it again, what they're doing here. But MLW is in a very weird position, and you know what? They've become Ring of Honor now. They're in the Ring of Honor slot, if you ask me.
Okay.
They have a better TV positioning as a national TV show. than Ring of Honor does, because Ring of Honor is all over the freaking place with syndication and local, you know, local affiliates and stuff like that. We still don't have a national channel. You know, you don't have a TNT to put on for Ring of Honor. And it's bizarre because they're owned by a TV network. So,
right.
Like New York City, Ring of Honor is not in a key position here in New York City. Like, I can't tell you. I got to watch them on Comet, some bizarre UHF station. I mean, it's on the it's like a UHF station. Appearance and accessibility is everything when it comes to this, and they don't really have it. But MLW does with BN. BN was what? Al Jazeera Sports, right? Yeah, BN was Al Jazeera Sports before. And they like them at BN. You know, they like that they have their product. If you go to BN's website, they have real top placement on their website. Now the big question is, okay, so how about New Japan? Where the hell's New Japan going?
I'm still saying HBO Max.
They said TV in the U.S.,
okay.
So if you're going based on the purple, what if it is BN?
I think I may need a CB radio to tune into it.
You don't get BN Sports?
I don't think I get BN Sports. No.
Okay. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm very curious where New Japan goes, because that's going to be interesting in what they do there.
Mm-hmm. I think New Japan is gearing up to do their stateside experiment again, but in a different way.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. What else do we have? Any other questions, or are we done?
We got one more. What is the current plan for the Raw creative team with Raw hitting record lows? Is a shift in order?
I don't know, man. I've heard nothing as far as there a shift happening. The last time we heard that there was a creative shift happening on Raw was when they said that they need about a year to develop new talent, and this is going to be a rebuilding year for the talent. And already we've seen what, you know, I was told when I think it was October that 2021, they're going to bring back a lot of older names to pump that number to, and they're going to use that to piggyback for newer talent. And we've already, what have we seen? We've seen Orton in a main position. We see Triple H on TV already. We see Bill Goldberg in a title match. Uh-huh. Right? Edge is going to come back soon.
Yep.
We were talking about The Rock, and a lot of that was tentative on The Rock being in front of a live audience, Flair being back on TV, Hogan being there last week doing a Legends night. So they are going to rely on these guys. And their process this year is going to be, let's bring some of these older guys to see how it goes. If they could go, like a Triple H could have a match, Bill Goldberg could have a match, Brock Lesnar, maybe you bring Cena.
Sure. Cena's going to be a big one.
You know, you're going to bring these guys, and they're going to bring new eyeballs, but okay, then what, though? What are you doing to keep them? Now what's the plan?
Status quo, man. I feel like WWE has been status quo for the last, like, who knows how many years, where they'll kind of pop you a little bit, and then they'll pull it back. You know, like Monday night's a great example. Like, did I expect to see Triple H and Randy Orton in a match? No. But you know what? That made me stay up until 11 o'clock. I was like, great. It's cool. Yeah, they kind of did a good ending. Alexa Bliss with the fireball. Great. You know, but can they do that consistently without relying on guys like Triple H and Goldberg? I think there needs to be a creative shift.
There needs to be a star. They need to have a star. Yeah. That's what the problem is. Forget about creative shifts. And listen, I agree with you. But in reality, who's their guy? Who's the guy that the nonchalant, the casual fan is saying, oh, crap, I like this guy?
It's got to be Roman at this point, right? If you're looking at the entirety of WWE.
Roman, yes. In the last, you know, 3 months, he's becoming this. But, you know, here's a question for you. Hypothetical. Sure. Okay? Okay. You're in a bar at the Jersey Shore. Okay.
I'm hanging out.
I'm just throwing this hypothetical. You're hanging out. There's a bunch. Yeah. It's busy. It's a busy bar.
Sure.
Okay.
Awesome.
Live bands playing. Great. And you're sitting down with your friends.
I'm with you.
And you look over to a table and you see Roman Reigns sitting at that table.
Okay.
Do you think that bar in that area would recognize Roman and he would be flooded by nearly everybody in that venue. Do you think that would be a reality for Roman?
100%. I think so. 100%? You know why?
Okay. Why? Yeah.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Watching, looking at somebody who has that presence walk into a public area, people are going to say, hey, that guy looks familiar. Somebody's going to say, I think my kid watches that guy on TV. Some guy's going to be like, oh shit, that's Roman Reigns. And then everybody's going to go on their phone and look for pictures of this guy. And then all of a sudden they're going to be like, holy shit, this guy's famous. Let me try to walk over there and get a autograph or a picture with them. It's not going to matter why. They're not, they don't have to be wrestling fans. They're just going to see this dude walk in and immediately think, this guy's got to be somebody. Look at him.
Okay, so now let's replace Roman Reigns with, I don't know. Give me a tag team guy. Give me a tag team guy that's like pretty well known. Edge? You want to go with Edge?
Sure, let's go with Edge.
Right? Let's go with a little bit. Let's say Edge. Let's say Edge is sitting at that bar. What do you think the what do you think the amount of people that recognized Edge and went over would be? You think it would be more than a Roman Reigns?
I think it would be not as fiery a reaction. I think there would be people who recognize him. Absolutely. Are me and you at this bar?
Yeah, we're at the bar. Yeah.
Are me and you, like, are we approaching, or would you, if you saw Edge at a bar sitting alone, would you go up to him and be like,
I would never do that. I would never go over. Nope.
Sign my titty.
Wouldn't do it. I would just leave the guy alone so we could enjoy his drink. But I got to tell you, I could tell you that I have experienced that with not a Edge, and not a Roman, but somebody that I was shocked, not because of their ability and what they've achieved in wrestling or any of that, just the fact that it's a normal guy, and the amount of people that went over to this person and recognized them, men and women, was astounding to me.
Can I tell the story?
I don't know. Are you going to mention names?
No. I'll be very careful. You can
name
it.
Yeah. Don't mention time frame and names.
No. I'm going to say, okay. All right. You were Andrew, like we've kind of been circling this. So Andrew was at an undisclosed location at some point in time, and he happened to be hanging out with somebody that we may or may not know, who may or may not have been a wrestler. This person, Andrew, was showing me pictures that there were people really lined up to meet this guy, and he was happy to meet every single one of them. Also, not a guy you would think that would have a 20-person crowd of people near them.
Yes.
Did I do a good job with that?
You did a very good job.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not giving a time frame. I don't want people to piece things together. This isn't something that happened last week or the week before. It's all over, you know, it could be whatever. But it just, I always think that as far as, you know, if, to kind of sum up the show, I don't know how we ended up here, but you want to talk about, like, everybody's very excited about WWE versus AEW. AEW's this, WWE's that, AEW sucks, WWE sucks, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, you're looking at it as a marketer, right? Because that's, my background is in marketing and media and stuff like that. AEW does not have that recognition factor associated with its talent yet that WWE does, even on a mid-range level. Or an upper middle range level. And right. I think until AEW hits that point, it's not a discussion whether WWE is going to lose to AEW or you know, what's going to happen. Because there's a lot more than ratings, right? And listen, I agree with you. I'm not very happy with WWE's product right now. And we could talk about this for another hour, but When you look at this and you're trying to say, like, well, why is one better than the other one? When is one going to overtake the other one? When your mid-range guys could go out there and go to a restaurant and they're getting mobbed,
right?
That's when you know that you're onto something tremendous.
Absolutely.
I'll just leave it at that.
Good. That was good. That was a good wrap up. Okay. You did a good job.
All right, guys. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Of course, we're also on F4WOnline.com, the Wrestling Observer website, WrestlingObserver.com. You can check out our content there. We got some cool stuff going on. In a couple of weeks, you'll see some more stuff. Let's put it that way. Oh, see some more stuff in a couple of weeks. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. There you go. Look at that. And you can follow Rich on Twitter at BTC Rich. And we'll see you all next time, guys. Take care.